Good morning. It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Got up, looked at the thermometer, looked at the weather, you know, outside. 57 degrees.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I hear that.
Finally, October.
Okay, good. All right, so we're going to, we're still on John 15 about the vine and the fruit.
And we have really enjoyed that, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, good, good. Well, we're going to camp out on this for another time or two and
well, thank you.
See what we can get from it, okay? Again, it wasn't until recently that I even understood this passage. I mean, I didn't like to read that part of the passage because I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get what I was supposed to be getting. And so it was only recently I started getting anything from it. So y'all going to have to help me out on this, okay? So I'm going to probably ask for your help. Okay, John 15, I'm going to read 1 through 8, so we can, know what we're talking about here. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and again, he's talking to his disciples about two main things. What are those two main things? He's going to tell them what he wants them to do, and the resources they have to do it. Mm. Right, what he wants them to do and the resources they have to do it. So what is he talking about in this passage? What does he want them to do and what's their resource to do it? Okay, so let's read that, this passage. John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser.
Yes.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Jesus.
If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you,
Jesus.
Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so proved to be my disciples. Okay. Praise the Lord. He said a mouthful, didn't he? Amen. That's a good passage there. So, what is it that he's telling the disciples he wants them to do?
Abide in him.
Mm-hmm. Abide in him and?
Bear fruit.
Bear fruit. Mm-hmm. The focus is on bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Now, what's the resource that they have to bear fruit?
Abiding in
the vine.
Yeah, they got to stay connected to him. They got to abide in him. You jumped ahead on me. That was good. That was good, Brother David. You're jumping ahead on me. That's good. Hello. But they had to stay connected to him. He said, if you don't stay connected to me, what can they do? They can't do a thing, can they? Like a vine, if the branches are not connected to the vine, how much fruit can they produce? You ever seen a branch that's not connected to the vine?
It don't sit there and wither away.
It can't do anything. It can't produce fruit. It can't do anything, right? No leaves, no fruit, no nothing. Right? So, he says, abide in me, though, and you can bear much fruit.
Much.
Much fruit, right?
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Is there any reason we skip the I and you part?
Which one?
Abide in me and I in you. Just occurs to me that...
What is this? Where is this?
Well,
did I miss it?
Verse 4, abide in me and I in you.
Did I not read that?
Yeah, what I mean is...
It needs to be part of what David's saying.
The vine It's also dependent on branches.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's a good point.
Hey, that's a good point.
Come on, come on, come on.
Well, you know, for, because the branches have leaves and the leaves produce the photosynthesis.
Yeah.
So, God's kingdom is dependent on the branches.
Ooh.
That's good, very good.
Ooh. To do what?
Bear fruit, maybe.
Yeah.
To do what?
To bear fruit.
To bear fruit. Oh, you mean the vine doesn't bear fruit?
That's good.
It does to a certain extent, but he don't really, he gives you everything
it
you
provides.
Need.
The fruit. It provides.
It provides mm-hmm. for the branches, and the branches
produce the fruit.
Produce the fruit.
Mm. That's good, Muffin.
Whoa, that's good. Let me point that out.
That's good. So, let me talk a little bit about more about vines and how they grow and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, we talked a little bit about last time, what's the purpose of the branch? Is it to grow bigger than the vine? Is it to produce other branches? What's the purpose of the branch? To bear fruit. And it says here, if you bear fruit, what's he going to do in order to let you make more fruit?
He's going
to
prune you.
He's going to take away the branches that you, the little shoots that come off the branches. Mm-hmm. I was reading this and it says, when it comes to pruning grapes, the most common mistake people make is not pruning hard enough.
It looks like they're pruning.
Not what now?
Not cutting.
When it comes to pruning grapes, this is, I'm reading a, got this off the internet where it's somebody who's a vine dresser is talking about how to have a vine vineyard. Mm-hmm. And he says, the most common mistake people make is not pruning hard enough. Mm. Not cutting back far enough.
Jesus.
I've got a personal story. My Aunt Frances, she never married. She took care of everybody. She lived in Melbourne. My daddy knew a lot about everything. And so he went and cut her all her shrubbery in the winter, you know, and cut it down. And she was so upset, she told everybody. Daddy didn't say anything to her, never did it again. That stuff come out beautiful. Because he knew exactly
whoa.
What he was doing.
Whoa, it didn't,
it
didn't look pretty.
It didn't have no internet. No, and she thought he'd cut it all down. And it was, but he never did say anything to her about telling everybody about it. But he never did it again. They forgave him, but that was my daddy.
Okay. It didn't look too good.
So no, because he cut it down, buddy.
That's what she was looking at.
He was, that big old shrubbery was in it. Of course, it lived there for years. It might still be there. I don't know.
Well, if you remember, I showed you some photos, right? Mm-hmm. And the grape field, the grape vine, the vineyard, mm-hmm. just looked like sticks coming up.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going, what's going to grow on sticks? I mean, look like walking sticks, you know? And I didn't realize that they kept them pruned back that far every year
mm-hmm.
so that they would produce more fruit.
Mm-hmm. And that's good.
So the grapevine, that grapevine is able to produce the offshoots mm-hmm. and the grapes that grow on, all in 1 year.
Wow.
All in 1 year.
Oh my wow. goodness.
So he wow. says, light pruning doesn't promote adequate fruiting, whereas heavy pruning produces the greatest quality of grapes.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. He says you got to take off the shoots, got to cut back the buds. Remove all but one shoot after new shoots start growing, even after they start growing. He's pruning them. So that you got one shoot, he says. So he says, after you transplant the grapevine, this is talking about putting in a new one, new green shoots will begin to form. Once these shoots reach a length between 8 and 12 inches, choose the best one and remove all the other shoots.
Yes.
So, and then remove the rest of the old wood. When pruning grapes, you'll want to cut off as much of the old wood as possible. This will encourage the growth of new wood, which is where the fruit is produced. However, for most home gardeners, simply pruning off the old wood and making way for the new fruiting wood is all that's needed for how and when to prune a grapevine. So I asked my questions. So what is old wood in a Christian's life? What is old wood? What is it that God needs to remove from our lives so that we can continue to produce fruit for the kingdom of God?
The old man, it's somewhat like the old man, the old way of thinking.
And old way of thinking, right?
Old persuasions.
If we're going to go from, go ahead.
Old persuasions, old thoughts.
Okay, old habits, old thoughts. Okay. If we're going to move from glory to glory,
uh-huh.
What's that first glory we got to leave? What's that first glory we got to leave to get to the other glory? What's that old glory that we got to leave? It's a glory now. It's not bad. It's a glory, but it's what?
Those things behind us. Those things behind us, the past glory.
Past victories, our past successes.
This is in our lives now.
Right.
This is in our lives.
You can't live on yesterday's revivals.
Okay.
You can't live on yesterday's highs, so to speak. You love them and you remember them, but you've got to go to another glory.
That's right. That's right. Revelations.
Yeah.
Don't we get revelations?
Yes.
We got revelations 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But now God may be wanting us to move into
a new
revelation,
fresh.
A new glory. Don't we always asking for a fresh anointing?
Mm-hmm.
What you going to do with the old anointing?
You still keep it because it's our treasures.
It's
but you don't, it's not the new treasure.
Yeah.
You need to seek the new treasure.
Yeah. We still keep the Old Testament in our Bibles.
Yes.
Don't we?
Oh, yeah.
But what do we live under?
Example, the new.
We live under the new covenant in our Bibles, right? We still keep the old, but we live under the new because that was the old glory. It was truth. It was God's truth at that time for those people, right? But we have a new covenant, which is God's truth, right? At this new time for God's people. It's different, isn't it?
Yes.
We have to put that away, though, in order to get the new.
You know,
they had the hardest time. The Jews had the hardest time laying down the old covenant, didn't they?
Yes.
We read about it in the New Testament. They had the hardest time putting down the old covenant to embrace the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Putting down the law to embrace grace.
Mm-hmm. And Baal was still over the eyes.
That's true, Mary.
It's still there. They can't.
Yeah.
See the new.
They still
the veil been lifted over ours. We can see the new.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
You receive the new, you can see yourself doing greater things.
Amen.
Whoa, that's good. That's good.
You're leaving limitations.
Wow, that's good.
Okay, good. Anything
else? I mean, that fits in perfectly with the pruning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, I mean, when you've got the old branches,
yep.
You're not going to produce as much as if you cut off the old and get you new.
So we had to, in a sense, cut off the old covenant.
Yeah.
Right? Because Jesus cut a new covenant. he established a new covenant.
Yes.
Right? And to get rid of the old wood, you got new wood that's going to produce more fruit. Right? Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. All right. I don't think we're going to get to what I want to do but here. But I wanted to get that laid out. And so what I want to do is, let me ask about fruit. What is fruit? I think we talked about this before. So it's
yummy.
Wait a minute.
Yummy.
Yummy. Fruit is yummy. Okay. That's not what I was looking for.
Technically, fruit is a flower that gets pollinated that makes a fruit around it.
Yeah.
That's technically what it is.
Ah.
It's a flower.
Okay.
Let me rephrase my question.
It has two meanings.
Yeah.
You know what you look.
Jesus is talking about fruit, but I don't think he's talking about his disciples producing grapes.
No.
Okay. What is he talking about his disciples producing?
Work.
That kind of fruit. What is what kind
fruit
of fruit?
Fruit of the Spirit.
Fruit of the Spirit. Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, stuff like the fruits of the Spirit is love, gentleness, mm-hmm. patience. Like, those kind of fruits are not the fruit we eat, but they're like your actions that are God's, like, ordained how he wants us to act.
Right? The yummy stuff in a person, right? Yeah, the good stuff that a person produces.
But in James, when he said he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, he's talking about souls.
Now, if we produce fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all these fruits, what will happen?
People will eat of it.
Say that again.
People will eat of it.
Oh, say that louder.
Oh. Repeat that, David.
People will eat that fruit.
People will want, people will see that yummy fruit. Thank you, Candace. People will see that yummy fruit and they'll be drawn to that fruit. You remember when Jesus was walking into Jerusalem, he saw a tree that had leaves on it, and he thought, I'm thirsty, I want to get something to drink, you know, eat. And so he was drawn to that tree in the hopes of getting some fruit. Mm-hmm. When people see our fruit, when they see that those grapes hanging down, you know, they go, oh, well, I'm going to get some of those grapes, you know. See an apple on a tree, you want to go get it, right? Mm-hmm. And so when people see love, joy,
mm-hmm.
peace,
mm-hmm.
patience, kindness, I'm going to be drawn to that. Like, give me some of that.
I don't know if this is like a spiritual answer, but I just thought of how, like, you know, when you eat fruit and it's good for you. And then how Brother David just said, you know, people will eat that fruit. And it's like, I wonder, like, when they eat that fruit of, like, joy, peace, when they eat it, they get it inside of them. And I was like, what if, like, it's like that domino effect? Because, I mean, I never heard a scripture say that per se, but because they eat that fruit and then they start acting like that, like love, joy. And I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
I just heard her kids say eating it, and I just connected the two.
So. Right.
I was connected to what she was saying.
We're kind of out of time here, but I'm going to say this one last thing. You know, we have a fairy tale, Jack and the Beanstalk. Everybody's familiar with the fairy tale where Jack, you know, gets, you know, trades a cow in for, quote, some magic beans, and his mom sees him and gets angry with him and throws him out the window. The next day, there's this huge giant vine going up to the way up in the sky. So Jack goes up there, finds a giant. The giant has this goose, and the goose lays golden eggs.
Whoa.
Right? Man, wouldn't you like to have a golden egg? Not Jack. Jack didn't want the golden eggs. He just left the golden eggs there. Jack got the goose. Jack got the goose. And that's what people should do when they see fruit in us. They see fruit in us and they say, that person's full of a peace I don't have. That person's full of a joy I don't have. I want that for me. I want that peace inside of me. I want that joy inside of me. And you have to tell them, don't go after the joy. Don't go after the peace. Go after the goose. Go after the one who gives joy. Go after the one who gives peace.
That's good, right?
And who is it that gives it, Mary?
Jesus.
It's the Holy Spirit within us. The fruit of the
Spirit
that gives that fruit. And grows that fruit with us, right?
So don't go after the fruit, go after the Spirit.
Yes, go after the, and you will get the fruit, right? Jack went after the goose, and he got it back down home. He said, we're going to have golden eggs now, right? Because I got the goose. He didn't have just one egg, I got all the eggs in the goose, right? So that's what we want. We want all the fruit of the Spirit. We don't want just love, we want also joy. We don't want just joy, we want peace. We don't want just peace, we want all the fruits, you see. all the things that God has for us.
And we have them all.
And when we produce that fruit, we're going to cause people to say, I want some of that too. I want some of that too. And they will be a branch that's attached to the vine. They won't be attached to us. They'll be attached to the vine. And they will get their nourishment. And they can abide in Jesus too. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you're giving us new understandings, revelations, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Of what you're wanting to do. Thank you that we can abide in the vine. We ask that each one of us today can abide in the vine, receive our nourishment from the vine, Father, that we may abide in you and you abide in us. Father, let us do your will today. Let us manifest your fruit to the world, that they may be drawn and say, what is it that produces love?
Jesus.
What is it that produces joy in your life? What is it that produces peace in your life? They may be drawn to us, and we may tell them it's the Holy Spirit in us.
Thank you, Lord.
It's the Word of God within, the living Word of God. Jesus is his name. And they may also become a branch, Father, and produce fruit in your kingdom.
Have your way, Lord.
For your kingdom, we pray.
Your kingdom.
Father, bless this food. Bless and nourish our bodies with it. And bless our fellowship time together. Amen.
Amen. Mary.